So let's go back to Bodhidharma's wall gazing, his gazing wall. Remember, a wall gazes two ways. It's non-dual. Yes, there is the constant communion with primordial reality. But in his treatise, Bodhidharma says that there is also the entrance through practice. It isn't just the entrance through a direct encounter with reality. There is also, alongside that, entrance through practice, entrance through conduct. And this entrance through practice is regarded as not being separate from your communion with primordial reality. It's not separate from it. It's not different from it. If you're practicing genuinely from a place of faith, from a place of vision, you're harmonizing with that primordial reality. Or you could say you're expressing that reality. And this touches on the crucial relationship in Chinese thought between what's called essence and function. Essence and function. This is sometimes described as the hidden pivot in East Asian thought. It's very, very important throughout all the far East Asian traditions of China, Japan, Korea, particularly in Buddhism. Essence is the real nature of things. It's what reality it is. For Buddhism, it's the non-dual. It's shunyata, or it's Buddha nature. It's beyond words. You can't name it. And it's also very clear, they're very clear to make out, this essence isn't some permanent fixed thing. Very important. So there's essence. And then there's function. Function is how things appear, how they act, what they do, how they function in the day-to-day. So in Buddhist practice, you work in two ways. You can work, and most of the time this is what we'll be doing, from function to essence. This means you do something. You practice the precepts, you meditate, you study, you engage in spiritual friendship. You do that to harmonize with the essence of things. In doing that, you start to tune into the true nature of things. So that's moving from function to essence. But you can also move from essence to function. This means that when you've seen the true nature, your being naturally expresses that, spontaneously expresses that. If you've seen the true nature of things, you naturally act with loving kindness. The precepts are a natural expression of your being. It's said of the Buddha that the Buddha doesn't need to observe precepts. He is the precepts. They're the natural expression of his being. He's always, his function is the expression of his essence. For us, as I say, usually it's the other way. We go from function to essence. So we need to be aware of both of these aspects. I think the precepts are quite a good example. It's very interesting when you get into discussion of the precepts. Take the first precept, abstaining from harming living beings. You get if you take the precepts as just a set of rules, as a set of prescriptions, you go astray. You've misunderstood the precepts, but not just misunderstanding them, but you're probably practicing them wrongly as well. You're distorting them because you're separating function from essence. So you might get into discussions in a study group. Well, does this mean I can't do X, Y, and Z? So you've got this idea that the precept is a rule that you're either kind of in or out of. And you have to move the discussion to, hang on, what's the principle behind this precept? What is the essence of this precept? That's what you have to go to. Then you'll discover how to act. You could have the other extreme, which could be, well, you don't need precepts. You just go straight to the essence, and then you don't need precepts. But that's a distortion too. That takes up a dualistic position. You're making a distinction between essence and function. You're both missing the point. The true position is that you have a feeling for reality, more or less, a feeling for non-duality, a feeling for the interconnectedness of all things. So then the first precept is a natural expression of that. And if you don't, if you're not in contact with that naturally, you know that it's a good idea to follow it, because you're going to harmonize with the essence through doing it. You know that non-harm, that love, is a way of expressing the essence of things. It's also a way of returning to that essence, as it were, of being in touch with that essence. So Bodhidharma speaks of four practices by which you enter the Dharma through practice, and whereby you harmonize with the essence or express the essence. I'm going to look at those in detail tomorrow, as well as saying something about how Bodhidharma transmitted the Dharma to his main disciple.